In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it!
You know what time it is.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic.
Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James with the rejection!
Holy cow! Oh, my God! I don't believe it! It just continues!
Welcome back to another episode of the Sports Hour. This is Mitch Mo.
And this is Dallin. The NFL season has begun.
It is upon us! Dilly dilly!
What a beautiful time of year it is. It's turning into the autumn season, and we have football on the TV all dang Sunday, and it is just fun. And now, Mitch, comes my favorite time of the year when it comes to the podcast, and that is these weekly NFL recap pick'em kind of episodes that we do throughout the season, and it's a ton of fun, and we have another fun one for you guys today.
I'm so excited. These are really this is my favorite time of the year as far as putting out these episodes go. Because I just love football so much. It's just, and we get to talk football every week, and that's just the best. I'm excited to do my picks in hopes that I don't have to serve the punishment again this coming year. So lots coming up here this week.
There's a lot more pressure on the picks, Mitch, because we've gone through like the whole process, including the punishment already. And now it's become real. Like last year, it was like this, this kind of hypothetical thing. Now it's real, and I feel more pressure to make like correct picks every week.
I actually was bald for a month, guys. I actually yeah. had no hair for a month.
Like that was a real consequence we had to deal with. So here we are.
It really happened.
Year two, and we still need help picking what it is the loser has to do. So let us know whether it's through our social media or, you know, wherever. Let us know what you guys think we should do, and we're going to find the right one and make it, you know, as bad as last year's, because last year was something we were both okay with but definitely didn't want to do.
You were not okay with it.
I knew
that your wife was really not
listen,
okay with it.
My wife was not okay with it, but I was okay with it. I was going to embrace it.
You're right.
But alas, we are here. Let's start, Mitch, with a recap. We're going to look at a couple games from last week.
It's recap time.
Oh, I like, thank you.
Just trying a little jingle.
No, yeah, I appreciated it. Kind of just kind of came out of nowhere.
I'm excited. What can I say, man? Let's do it.
It's great. So we're going to do a little recap. I am going to take my favorite segment, Daddy's Favorites, and put it into the NFL season.
Ooh.
And then Mitch and I are going to overreact to one thing from week one, because week one's all about overreactions, and I hate them, but we got to allow ourselves to, like, do it once and kind of just, you know, get it out there. So that's what we're going to do today. All right,
Let's get to it.
What game do you want to start with?
You know, I think let's address just two blowouts really quick, because I think they need to be addressed. Let's start with Titans-Browns.
Yes.
This game was ugly, and the Browns did not look good at all. But my question is, did the Browns really not look that good, or did the Titans' defense really just look great? Or is it a combination of both?
I mean, it's week one, and that's what's so hard about any of these games, is we just don't know anything still. Like, there's maybe five things we know for sure, you know. In this game, we know nothing. We don't know how good the Titans actually are. I think they're not good at all, but they may be better than what I think. I don't think that it's Cleveland is bad. I mean, they had 18 penalties, right? I mean, that's just not good football, and you can't do that and win. So I think part of it is, yeah, maybe they felt the pressure of these expectations that everyone has given them in the offseason, and they just kind of shit the bed in week one, and that, you know, and next week is a new week, and I'm not worried about the Browns at all. after this first game. I mean, Tampa Bay beat New Orleans week one last year. I mean, it threw all over them. And, you know, they were fine. So I don't think it's too crazy, but it's definitely not a good look.
No, it's not. Just the lack of efficiency from Baker Mayfield is a little bit concerning. Nick Chubb was still fine on the ground. He was 17 for 75, 4.4 a carry. It's just when you lose a game by 30 and you have these high expectations, the question of overhyped comes up instantly like that when you have those expectations. And I don't think the Browns are overhyped. I think it was a bad week one against a team that's got a pretty good defense, but I think they just played bad. And yeah. I don't think there's nothing to get excited about here. That was terrible use of grammar. I just pulled a double negative out of my butt. I just realized that. But there's no reason to overreact here. This is not on my overreaction, by the way. Because, like you said, we don't know anything from this. I think it was just one team played well and one team played bad. I don't think it's indicative of what they're going to be the entirety of the year. So
yeah, and I think maybe it looks particularly worse for Cleveland because of the high expectations and because of the fact that their opponent in the division, the Baltimore Ravens, just looked fantastic. And obviously, the talent they were playing, Miami is by for sure. One of the things we actually know from week one is that Miami is really, really bad. And this hashtag tank for Tua thing has already begun. So, you know, the talent, the competition is different here, but Baltimore looked fantastic. Lamar Jackson looked like the second coming of I don't know what, but it looked great. And so I think that makes Cleveland almost look worse here, that they, you know, they had a dud game one, and then Baltimore goes out and scores 59. You know, Lamar Jackson has 5 touchdowns.
You know, me and Lamar left on bad terms at the end of last year.
Yeah, you did.
We left on bad terms. I didn't like his playoff performance. I was very vocal about that. Lamar Jackson balled out. He throws for 324 on only 20 attempts, completing 17 of them, by the way.
Yeah.
5 touchdowns. But here's the thing. And they did look great. Mark Ingram looked fantastic as well. 14 for 107, 7.6 on the ground. Marquise Brown, the rookie.
Ooh, Hollywood
great.
Brown? Yes.
Looking fantastic. Yes. 4 for 147. If you go listen, and I'll plug this at the end of the episode, the Daily Double Up, our new daily fantasy sports podcast. One of the guys I talked about as a sleeper pick, Mark Andrews, balled out 8 for 108 and a touchdown. The mailman coming through big. But here's how I know it was more that Miami is literally the worst football team I've ever seen is when Robert Griffin III comes in and balls out on you.
Yeah.
You're just bad. You're just bad. And not to take anything away from the Ravens, I mean, the Ravens looked very, very good. But, man, I think it was amplified just a little bit by the fact that they were playing probably the worst football team I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, it's bad.
Well, and the thing with Baltimore is we're not going to really know much about them after this week either, because they play the Arizona Cardinals, who are, if not the second worst, the third worst. I mean, they're right at the bottom there, too. So, you know, I expect Baltimore to win big against Arizona. And then it's like, yeah, sure, they look great through two games.
See,
but who do they play?
Here's the thing is that Miami, to me, is still miles worse than
Arizona.
Oh, 100%.
I'm not discounting how bad Miami is. All I'm saying is that they play another bad team this week.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be kind of hard to know how good Baltimore is. And that's the case with most of these teams. It's hard to know, you know, much after week one. Let's move on to another game, Mitch, that I thought was significant. This was Kansas City at Jacksonville. Kansas City got the win, but more importantly, Nick Foles is out of the game. Mm-hmm. And what was it, a clavicle for Nick Foles?
Yes, clavicle.
Yeah, so a broken clavicle for Nick Foles, and Gardner Minshew from Wazoo comes in the game. I think it was a 6th-round pick and looked pretty good against the Chiefs defense. But, I mean, that's the team now. And I know that, Mitch, you were higher on Jacksonville than I was. I think you had them at, like, 9-7 or something like that.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
And, I mean, that was obviously contingent on Nick Foles and not Gardner Minshew. They also traded for, who was it? Dobbs from the, Josh Dobbs from the Pittsburgh Steelers. So this is now a team that could have been, you know, somewhat relevant to what are they now, Mitch?
You know, the scoring thing, I don't know. I'm trying to make an argument for him. Stick by my 9-7 record for him, but
It's not your fault Nick Foles gets injured week one. That doesn't. It's okay to pivot from a prediction that's based on quarterback health.
So let's start at the top here. Where you started, Gardner Minshew looked good. Can't see defense. Pretty bad.
Right.
So, of course he's going to look good. But, I mean, you can't scoff at 22 for 25, 275 and 2.
Right.
You can't scoff at that. Right. I mean, this is a kid that hasn't had any playing experience in the NFL, really, and goes out and does that against a pro defense.
Exactly. I don't think that we should just ignore Minshew, per se.
No. And Fournette looked good, too. 13 for 66. I think Kansas City's offense is just in another league, and I think it has the ability to tear up a Jacksonville defense that I still think is going to be, over the course of a 16-game season, a pretty good defense. So, really, the story of this, for me, is the Chiefs' offense. We know what Pat Mahomes did, just picking up right where he left off. LeSean McCoy comes in and is the leading rusher for Kansas City at 10 for 81, 8.1 yards a carry. He's looking like 27-year-old LeSean McCoy right now. He comes in and does a fantastic job. Sammy Watkins, 9 for 198 and 3 touchdowns. Oh, my God. Fantasy dream day, by the way, if you're a Sammy Watkins owner. Fantasy nightmare if you're a Sammy Watkins owner like me who sat him on your bench. It was a nightmare for you, just watching all those unused fantasy points accumulate on your bench. But the Chiefs' defense, or the Chiefs' offense, is just in a league of its own. The fit between Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes and all the weapons that he has at his disposal is just undeniable. This is just a really good offense. I think that's the story of this game. I don't think it's that Jacksonville super struggled. I think it's just that this is still a very, very good team.
Yeah, and I think Kansas City is much of what they were last year. Like, they haven't changed that much. It's the same idea. A very, very good offense with some defensive weapons that you hope when the time comes that they can step up and get a stop. Like, this isn't a defense that's going to hold teams to 20 points.
This isn't a defense that's going to stop you, though. This is a defense that's going to slow you down just enough so that
exactly.
they can outscore you.
Exactly. And that's that when the opportune time, when the playoffs come, they can step up enough, you know, to win a game. So, I don't know. I'm just curious about Jacksonville moving forward. Do they stick with Minshew? Perhaps if enough time goes by and they feel like they still have an opportunity to win, if they bring somebody in, do they make a trade for some of the better backups? The Teddy Bridgewaters, the Tyrod Taylors. I mean, could we see Jacksonville make that sort of play, or is it just right out this Foles injury? I know that he's not supposed to miss the entire season, but it seems like we don't know the timeline. So do you think they'll just stick with Minshew until Foles is healthy, or could you see them making a trade for another QB, not like Josh Dobbs?
No, I think it's going to be Minshew or Dobbs. I think Dobbs, apparently, from what I've heard, is not a terrible option. He's just played behind Big Ben. So maybe it's his time for a look, and maybe he gets that opportunity. Maybe Minshew pans out, and he does enough to keep him afloat for a little bit. Not necessarily winning you a bunch of games, but, you know, keeping you around and maybe get a win or two to where Nick Foles is healthy and you try to claw back to 500. This severely hurts their playoff chances, though, because this could easily be a situation where they slip to 0-5 to start the year because they don't have a legitimate quarterback under center. But this could also be a situation where Gardner Minshew or Josh Dobbs plays really good and they wind up 3-2, and then Nick Foles is back and they're still in the playoff hunt. So it's, and Nick Foles, we know what he does with short work. You give him an X amount of weeks to try to get something done and he gets it done. So We'll see. Jacksonville's a big question mark right now. We have to see how this is going to play out, I think, with their new quarterback situation.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to another team in the AFC South. I want to talk about the Colts versus the Chargers real quick. I don't want to get into this too much, but all I want to say is that the Colts looked really good for not having Andrew Luck. Jacoby Brissett looked good. He looked competent, confident, and they took a really good Chargers team into overtime on the road week one after their quarterback just retired not even a couple weeks ago. So I was really impressed with the Colts. I still am pretty high on them. I think they can still do enough. They have enough weapons and a good enough defense to be relevant in the playoffs in the AFC. So I was impressed and happy to see that from Indianapolis.
Yeah, Brissett looked very confident. That was the word that came to mind for me, was confidence. Marlon Mack was a beast on the ground. 25 for 174. T.Y. Hilton looked great with a new quarterback. In fact, he was by far the leading receiver. This is a team that's, I think, could stay afloat with Jacoby Brissett. We talked about that last time. We talked about what impact the Andrew Luck retirement is going to have. And how Jacoby Brissett is a guy that we think could keep him afloat. I'm 100% on board with you. I think that this is going to be a 10-win team-ish, but it is going to stay in a playoff conversation throughout the duration of the year, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And the other team on the other side also didn't seem to miss their big player, Melvin Gordon. Austin Eckler had a great game. Justin Jackson looked good. The Chargers didn't seem to miss Melvin Gordon at all. That certainly doesn't help Melvin Gordon in his argument to get paid the money he wants.
No, but he was also hyping on Twitter for Austin Eckler. Like, he was hyped.
I'm not saying he should be upset. I'm just saying, you know, if they come out week one and can't run the ball, that's a really good argument for paying me my money. So
I think you find him a trade partner really quick, because it looks like you're going to be just fine with Eckler and Jackson.
Exactly.
Jackson ran the ball well. He only had 6 carries, but 9.5 yards a carry, 57 yards. Yeah. So he looks like a very good complement to Austin Eckler. So.
Absolutely. All right, Mitch, I want to talk about the two Monday night games. Let's start with the first one, Houston versus New Orleans. What a fantastic game, first off. Oh. A back-and-forth battle. Taysom Hill catches a touchdown pass, you know, and the backup quarterback. It's just a ton of fun. You had the last-minute drive by Deshaun Watson, and then Breeze comes back. Lutz kicks the field goal. Fantastic game, Mitch. I think these are two of the better teams in the league. What did you think about this matchup, and what impressed you the most?
Well, I will say that Houston impressed me the most because I was not as high on them as you were. Fairly high on New Orleans. I think I had them at 12-4. This Houston team looked very, very good. Deshaun Watson looked very, very good. I really like the combination at running back that they have right now with Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson. I think that's a really nice combination to have. More of a power runner in Hyde, and Duke Johnson being a more flashy, spread him out, get him out into open space and get him the ball somehow.
I think Carlos Hyde was going to get cut like 2 weeks ago, right? And right. He looked fantastic in this game. I was like, who is this guy? Is this the same guy that was going to get cut by Kansas City? Like, what happened?
This was a guy that, for me, this is like first 2 years in San Francisco, Carlos Hyde.
Yeah,
he's back.
Yeah,
like he's looking like his first 2 years in the NFL again, where he disappeared for a few years. Now he looks good again. So I hope he sustains that. I think that, you know, it'll be a good thing for him to get back on track. DeAndre Hopkins, still a beast. I think this is the scariest receiver core in football right now.
Oh, yeah?
Well, think about it like this. You got DeAndre Hopkins, who's probably the best wide receiver in football. You got Will Fuller, great. You got Kenny Stills, who's not a bad deep threat to have. A guy that you could throw the ball deep to. Boom, bust, but great guy to have as a deep threat. And then we're still not even talking about when Kiki QT comes back. I mean, this could be the scariest wide receiver core in football when they're all healthy and playing. I mean, when Kenny Stills is your fourth wide receiver, you're still looking pretty good. You're looking pretty good because this is a guy who could be a two or a three on a lot of teams.
Yeah, he was like two in Miami.
Yeah, so, he was behind Parker.
When he's your number four guy, I mean, and he was relevant in that game, caught that, you know, touchdown in the fourth quarter. So, I agree. Like you said, I was higher on Houston. I was super impressed, especially with Deshaun Watson. I expected a lot from him. My bold prediction was that he would make the Pro Bowl, and I thought he would be a fringe MVP candidate. And he looked the part in this game against a good New Orleans team. New Orleans looked like New Orleans, which is very good, very consistent, you know, a smart football team. What a great matchup in week one of the NFL season. I thought it was a great game.
Yeah, and I mean, and just one last point about Deshaun Watson is showed a lot of toughness last night, taking the bad bump on the back, diving into the end zone, and still played very, very well the rest of the night, even with something that was obviously bothering him the rest of the night. So it showed toughness, showed leadership, showed obviously we know his ability as a player, his athletic ability, but showed the leadership and the toughness that it takes to be a successful NFL quarterback, and a good showing for Mr. Watson.
Yeah, absolutely. He was very poised. He looked like more comfortable than he ever has in a game in the NFL. I mean, this is only his third season, but he looked like, you know, like he felt comfortable there, and that was his domain, and you know what I mean? And that makes a huge difference.
He looked like a veteran. He looked like a veteran for the first time in his career.
Exactly. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to say.
He looked like he's supposed to be there. And doing that. So.
Exactly. And to face off against Drew Brees, who's one of the best, and to have that head-to-head battle, and it was like, wow, these guys look like they are, you know, that they're competitors. And Deshaun Watson's a third-year guy, and this is Drew Brees. I mean, it was awesome. So.
Right.
Let's talk about the second game, which was also, I thought, a pretty interesting game. Denver at Oakland. Oakland came home with the win. Mitch, what do you have to say about this game? What were your thoughts watching it?
I'd like to start off my overreactions right now. This is what I'm overreacting to.
I knew this was coming.
Look, I've made some bold claims about Oakland this year, and I feel like I have to be like half a Raiders fan this year just so I could stand by them and not look like I'm just talking out of my butt the whole time. Like, I actually believe what I'm saying. The Raiders looked really good. They looked really good. Derek Carr looked sharp. 22 for 26, 259. And the touchdown. Josh Jacobs looked like a pro running back. And now,
Josh Jacobs, man, I'd love to overreact about him. I mean, did he not look fantastic?
He did.
I mean, he just looked, these rookie guys, man, every single year they come in, and like it was Saquon last year, just came in and just looked like he owned the league. And that's what Josh Jacobs looked like on Monday Night Football. He's just like, I am here. I'm a professional running back. Like, who cares if I've never taken a snap before? He dominated.
This is a bit, and it's, you know what? Having a performance like that as a rookie is a huge confidence booster and a great way to propel your career off in the right way. Josh Jacobs did that last night with two touchdowns on the ground, accompanied by 85 yards. How about Tyrell Williams? 6 for 105. Looked like a number one wide receiver. Darren Waller, 7 for 70. Looks like a very good tight end option for them.
Yeah, also, he never left the field. Played 100% of their snaps on offense. Waller. He's kind of been a sleeper fantasy guy because of the production of Jared Cook last year, because of Derek Carr's, you know, his tendency to go to the tight end. And it showed week one. I think he's, in fantasy perspectives, he's 100% fantasy relevant. He probably already has a team, but if he didn't, he got picked up real quick. I mean, he looked great.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And look, I am going to overreact about the Raiders' defense. I mean, the turnovers weren't there, but they stifled for three and a quarter quarters. I mean, there was about 10 minutes of the game where Broncos actually had something moving. And the rest of the game, I mean, just suffocated that offense. And look, I'm super excited about this team. I am going to overreact. Clelin Ferrell, by the way, the number four overall pick. Dallin's worst pick of the draft. Picks up his first career sack, played very well, occupied space very well, and made sure that things were moving back towards the middle of the field where they're supposed to go. This team looked fantastic. They absolutely looked fantastic.
Yeah, and I think this one falls in the category of the first couple games, specifically Baltimore-Miami, where we don't know how good Oakland is and we don't know how bad Denver is. I mean, Denver could be really, really bad. And then this win against a really, really bad team in context looks a little different, right? We don't know how good Oakland is. You know, I think that's my issue with overreacting to this, because everything went right for Oakland tonight, last night. But will it go right every time? And, you know, and if it doesn't, who steps up and, you know, who wins the game for you? And that's, I think, the issue with Oakland is Josh Jacobs looks great. Are you relying on him to win the game for you in his second game ever? You know, can Derek Carr, does he have enough weapons to make things happen? On the defense, who's the guy to step up and win the game? Like, that's the issues with Oakland, and that's what we haven't seen because they've played Denver, and Denver is not the best team in the league, and they're not close to that.
That's the one thing that I think Derek Carr needs to do is find another guy that he likes to go to. I'd love to see him get Hunter Renfro more involved. As a slot guy, as one of their slot guys, I'd love to see them get him more involved, because I think he is going to need one more guy to throw to at least, to have enough weapons to use. So,
absolutely. All right, Mitch, I think that's it for this week. You just gave your, so what is your action? What's your overreaction? Just that the Raiders are going to be good? What does that mean? What does good mean? I mean, we have a water bet on 8-8. Are you saying like 10-6? What are you saying?
No, I'm not saying 10-6. And I explained this last night. I was actually watching the game with our resident fantasy football expert, Jordan Fox, and the Italian stallion, Tanner Pizzini. And I explained this, like, this team looks really good. I'm still not pivoting away from 8-8, though. I still think that seems about right. But where everyone else has them well below 8-8, or, you know, has them below that mark, I don't think 8-8's out of the question now. I think this looks like a good team. Maybe 9-7. Maybe they're above 500. Who knows? Things have to go right for them. But this team looked like they're good enough to get to 500. I also had this conversation with Mr. Fox about whether Derek Carr is a good quarterback or not. And I think last night was helping my case of that he is a good quarterback. He is a good quarterback. And, you know, you can go back to last year and talk, well, 19 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. How can he be a good quarterback with his ratio that low? Well, yeah, he still threw for over 4,000 yards, completed almost 70% of his passes while being the fifth most sacked quarterback in the league. So he's a good quarterback who had a down year last year. And I think last night was just adding to the case of the fact that Derek Carr is a good quarterback. So maybe it's a little bit of both, a little bit of overreaction for the Raiders as a team, and a little bit for Derek Carr. So
all right. My overreaction. Going back to a game we already talked about, Baltimore. Now Baltimore looks really good. Yeah. They look really good, and I feel 100% comfortable in overreacting. If I was going to overreact to anything in Week One, it is Lamar Jackson in Baltimore.
That was not my even, second choice. Yeah,
and not even just the offense, the defense. I mean, Miami. Not good, but overall the team looked fantastic, and we heard all offseason about how they were building this playbook around the run game, and it was all focused on the run game. And then in week one, what do? Throw 5 passing touchdowns with Lamar Jackson. Right? Lamar Jackson ran it like 3 times, and we didn't even see the whole emphasis of the offseason.
Yeah,
we didn't even see the run game that they've been talking so much about. But what they just came out and proved in week one is said, hey, we could beat you through the air. We could beat you through the air. Now, just wait till you see this run game and we put them together. And they didn't need to because it's freaking Miami. So they legitimately could have scored 80 points on this team yesterday. If they keep Lamar Jackson in and they just keep the pedal to the metal, they score 80 points against Miami easy. So I am willing to overreact to Baltimore. I had them at 9-7 and missing the playoffs. I'm ready to say that, like, 11 games, 12 games, 12 plus is not unrealistic for Baltimore.
Ooh.
That's I'm just letting this permeate. And then next week when they get in some stupid shootout with Arizona and they come close to losing and I'm like, wow, not as good as I thought. I mean, that's fine. But for week one and for right now, I'll kind of plant my flag in that.
Going spicy, huh? With the 12-4?
Listen, I was very high on Lamar Jackson already. I just saw regression. The lack of weapons was the concern. But like you said, Mark Andrews looked fantastic. Marquise Hollywood Brown looks great already. Snead looked consistent. I think he had 7 receptions. So I think they have enough around Lamar to make this work. So, Mitch, it's time. Can I do my daddy's favorite here?
Oh, I've been waiting for it. Creep me out, daddy.
Ooh, okay. Oh.
What? That this is the time okay to call you daddy, right?
Right. I guess so, Mitch. I guess so. All right. Guys, it is time, as the tradition of the NBA season goes. I pick one player every week, and they are daddy's favorites.
You're not my dad!
And this week, there is a guy that has already been mentioned in this podcast that I was particularly impressed by. Mitch, you brought his name up. It was Marlon Mack. From the Indianapolis Colts, he led the league in rushing. He leads the league in rushing after 1 week. 25 carries for 174 yards and a touchdown. Part of why the Colts looked so dang good is because Marlon Mack was running all over a good Chargers defense. If the Colts have this kind of running, I mean, not 174 yards a game, but a very good running game as what showed in week one, then the Colts are even more dangerous, takes even more pressure off Jacoby Brissett and the pass offense, and allows him to play comfortable. That's the key for an 10-12 win season for Indianapolis, is this solid running game. And Marlon Mack showed so far he could be that guy.
I mean, 25 carries. Is this a guy we could see getting close to the 280 carry range by the end of the year?
I think it's more plausible now without Andrew Luck. Because, like I said, now a solid running game. They also have a solid backup in Nyheim Hines, the guy that could change a pace with him. So between the two of them, I just think if they can establish a run, that's going to take a ton of pressure off of Brissett. Let him play more comfortable. Don't put him in too many situations that you could put Andrew Luck. Because Andrew Luck was so good, you don't have that guy in Brissett. So a solid running game is going to be the key for them. I think, yes, the carries, to expect more from Marlon Mack this year than we did when Andrew Luck was the quarterback.
The ultimate advantage there, and sorry, I don't mean to interrupt your segment here, but the ultimate advantage there is the Colts already have a really good offensive line.
Exactly.
So if they can run the ball, they can take all the pressure off Brissett they want, then gives them more chance to be successful. So
absolutely. Did you see that block by Quentin Nelson?
I think yes.
He's floating around Twitter today, and he just throws this. It must have been a linebacker on a blitz. I mean, he just threw him down. It was like, ooh.
He's
oh, I love it.
He's a stud.
Quentin Nelson, what a stud. But yes, Marlon Mack is this week's daddy's favorite. And, I expect him to be really good, I think, this year. I think that's the formula for Indianapolis, and they showed it in week one. Marlon Mack showed it, and I expect more of this to come.
So to round out the top half of this show, we're going to introduce a brand new segment to complement your daddy's favorites, Dallin. And I know I have my Mitch Moe's top 5 lists of the week, and they're becoming more sparse and scarce, I think. You know, make it more like a treat more than anything nowadays.
Mitch can only count to 5 so many times, guys.
Yeah, sometimes I just need a break from counting to 5. Well, 5 down to 1, really. So we're going to introduce a new segment called The Pit of Misery, not sponsored by Bud Light. And... this week, and the Pit of Misery is basically this week's disappointing performer. Now, Dallin, you just talked about your favorite performer, Marlon Mack. The first entrant into the Pit of Misery is James Conner. Dilly Dilly, Pit of Misery. Put him in there. James Conner, 10 for 21, 2.1 yards a carry. Really? You couldn't muster more than 2.1 yards a carry. James Conner, you were a sorry excuse for a running back this week. You gave so many fantasy owners a reason to quit fantasy football because of your poor performance. Do you realize how many lives in fantasy football you ruined, including my very own co-host, because of your sorry performance? 10 carries for 21 yards. You are a sad excuse for a running back this week. You better rebound because you better get, because no one wants to stay in the pit of misery this long. James Conner, you are an absolute disgrace for a week one performance. You are in the pit of misery.
Wow. So passionate, Mitch. I appreciated that.
Well, listen, the pit of misery, it's a serious thing. Payback. You don't want to go in there.
It is very serious. I think this is all just payback for his awful haircut that he had a year ago. You know,
oh, don't even mention the hair. No. The hair's coming off when you're in the pit of misery. You're in my rules now. Hair's coming off.
Oh, so you stay bald. It's like a constant. Oh, I like this, Mitch. Nobody wants to be that bald for that long, as you can attest.
That's right. No free ads, by the way. Not sponsored by Bud Light.
Yes, hashtag not sponsored. Thank you, Mitch, for the pit of misery. That's been our recap, guys. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we will do our picks, our award predictions for the season. We didn't get a chance to do them before the season, so we're doing them now. But stay tuned for that when we come back. Thank you, guys, for listening to the Sports Hour today. Be sure, if you haven't already, to follow our socials. You can find us on Twitter at Sports Hour Guys, Instagram at The Sports Hour Guys, and you can like our Facebook page. Be sure to follow those socials. Interact with us. We want to hear from you. Now back to the show. Welcome back in to the Sports Hour. It's time to do some awards predictions, Mitch. And I like doing these. In fact, I was looking at last year's predictions that I had, and some of them were okay. So that was cool. Some of them weren't very close at all. And I think that's what's fun about this, is because the whole season is so long and so many things happen that we really have no idea what's going to happen, other than the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. So
yeah.
Accepting that sad and disappointing fact, let's look at some awards predictions. Mitch, let's start with MVP. Last year, the MVP was Mr. Patrick Mahomes. A fantastic season. Mitch, is it a repeat for Mahomes, or who takes the crown this season?
Well, it is for me. I think Pat Mahomes repeats as MVP. This guy looked like he could throw 50 touchdowns again in week one, like we saw. And I think if you throw 50 touchdowns, you're almost a lock for the MVP. This guy's just a fantastic talent, once in a generation. He needs to get rid of the no-look pass, though, because he just airmailed Travis Kelce there.
Yeah, that was a little bit of showboating we don't see very often in the NFL.
I mean, a wide open Travis Kelce just no-looked him. But still, nonetheless, physically the most talented quarterback in the NFL right now. And I think that this guy is going to repeat, probably not throwing for 50 touchdowns. I still think he throws over 40, well over 40. And if he could keep the interceptions down just a hair, I think that's going to elevate him into that elite status. So I think he's on track right now to win another MVP second in a row.
Yeah, I understand that, because, you know, who do you feel more confident in? Other than Mahomes, I mean, that's a clear choice. I understand completely the idea of Mahomes. I don't think it's, you know, I think it's quite possible he repeats, especially with the success that we expect Kansas City to have this season. My pick, and I talked about this in the Megasode. I teased this. I said this out loud already. It is a fact. I have said that Carson Wentz is going to win the MVP, and I feel confident about that. Listen, Philadelphia looked really bad at the beginning of that game against the Redskins. It was a very ugly start, but they came back and they won the game. And Wentz looked very good in the second half of that game. I think he's going to have a big season. I think the Eagles are going to have a big season. I had them at 13-3 and winning the Super Bowl. So Wentz is my MVP candidate. He should have won it a couple years ago. and he will win it this year.
Yeah, I had him as my second name down on my list. I think I gave you a little bit of a hard time when you said that, but yeah, it's really not as hot of a take as I made it sound. He really is a legitimate MVP candidate if he plays the way he's capable of playing and things go right. He has to stay healthy. That's going to be the big thing. He can't have some sort of late season injury that dooms him. I have Carson Wentz, but you know, and we talked about this, I think last year, how traditionally we see a lot of quarterbacks win MVP. It's kind of become a quarterback award, but if there's one guy, and this is the third and last name I wrote down, there's a guy that's not a quarterback I could see winning this. It's Saquon. Just because of his value to his team, and just the dynamic once in a generation type talent that he is. I think Saquon, could be in the conversation by the end of the year as a non-quarterback candidate, if you will.
See, I don't see that at all, if I'm being honest. And the reason being is because the Giants aren't going to be good. And I even if, you know, Saquon gets, you know, 2,000, you know, 2,500 total yards or whatever, if the Giants are 6-10, how do you make him the MVP? It's going to be much easier to pick a quarterback or another position player, another running back that's on an actual good team, like maybe an Alvin Kamara, maybe like a Zeke Elliott. You know,
and
maybe
I thought about those guys. That's
I think they have a better shot, even though I may think Saquon is more talented. I think those guys have a better shot just because you have to win in the NFL to get an MVP. You have to win in any sports league, really, to get an MVP.
And I think that's part of the flaw in MVP awards is that, you know, it's most valuable player. Who's the most valuable player? Part of that, I think, comes value to their team. And if Saquon wasn't on the Giants, we wouldn't be even discussing the Giants. They wouldn't be a word that would leave our mouth.
That is fair. That is fair.
So and I think that's part of the flaw at the MVP is that, you know, they have to be on a winning team. We were talking about it with LeBron James when they lost in the finals, how he could be the finals MVP. The conversations have come up before. Now, that was a winning team that was in a championship setting.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think, in my book at least, it doesn't have to necessarily be on a winning team because value doesn't necessarily translate into wins because you could have a really bad team around you and be super valuable to your team. So that's where my argument, I guess, comes for Saquon, but and that's a deeper conversation we could have another day. But
yeah, on the principle, I agree with you. But in reality, there's no way that he wins the MVP or even comes close to it just because the Giants won't be good. But I agree with you in principle, Mitch. The name that I wrote down, and I also talked about this in the Megasode, was Deshaun Watson. I said that he would make the Pro Bowl and he would be a fringe MVP candidate if he did hit that Pro Bowl status, and if Houston was as good as I think they are. Week one looked pretty good for them, looked pretty good for him. I think Deshaun Watson, do not count him out. I think he has a legitimate shot at the MVP this year. I will tell you a name who doesn't: Lamar Jackson. As much as I want to overreact about Baltimore and winning 12 games, even if they do, I don't think Lamar Jackson comes anywhere close to the MVP. He looked great in week one. But Ryan Fitzpatrick looked great in week one last year. So just, you know, that's all I will say is Lamar Jackson doesn't deserve to be in this conversation even after his week one performance. So, all right, Mitch, let's talk about Offensive Player of the Year, which this award is hard because it's basically just a repetition of MVP, unless a skill player just happens to have a remarkable season. The quarterback who wins MVP usually wins Offensive Player of the Year. It's what happened last year with Patrick Mahomes. Mitch, so taking aside the quarterbacks, our MVP picks, the Mahomeses and the Wentzes, who is the skill position player that you think has a chance at this award? I guess you said Saquon for MVP, so is that who you're looking at here?
So I have 1A, 1B on this. But I'm going to stick with my 1A just because I think that, and I've talked to Jordan Fox about this a lot, about, you know, who could be a 1,000 and 1,000 guy as far as running backs go. And I think that Jordan has convinced me that I've always thought David Johnson could be a 1,000 and 1,000 guy. I think he's convinced me that this guy's probably the favorite to do it. And it's your boy, Christian McCaffrey.
Mitch, hey, I had the same name down. Let's talk together about this.
The guy is just one. The amount of usage that he's going to have in that offense, there's no way he doesn't have an outstanding yardage year.
Exactly.
Yardage usually, I mean, there's not a direct correlation, but we see some correlation between yardage gained and scoring. He's going to score a lot of points. He's in a very good offense. He's in a very well-run team. He's got a good quarterback. He's got a pretty good offensive line. He's got a skill set that is very unique and very potent in today's NFL. And this guy's going to be in the conversation for as long as he is healthy and in his prime. This guy's always going to be in consideration. And I think that, you know, this year could be the year that Christian McCaffrey snags Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you because, I mean, if you watch that game week one, he had 200 total yards in the game, 120 on the ground, 80 through the air. He was, I think, like 10 yards short of hitting 2,000 total yards last season. I 100% agree with you that he is, you know, that's his goal this year is 1,000 and 1,000. That's the goal. 1,000 receiving, 1,000 rushing. That's what he wants to do. I think he will accomplish it. He has ample opportunity.
Right.
Like you said, in the offense with the Panthers, he is their offense. It's what they are going through. They want to give him the ball as much as they can. And it was prevalent and it was evident in that game on Sunday against the Rams. So, yeah, I think it's going to happen. And if that's the case, and if the Panthers win 9 games, then yes, I think he's in the conversation. A lot of that depends on if the Panthers are good. But as long as they win like 9 games, even if they don't make the playoffs, even if they're not fantastic, if he hits 1,000 and 1,000 and they're an above 500 team, I think he's going to be considered up there for sure.
Yeah. He's my favorite. Then I wrote down Saquon. I think that's going to be his biggest competition. It's going to be his biggest competition, but I don't think we can throw names like DeAndre Hopkins out. I don't think we can throw names like Alvin Kamara out, or even another quarterback like Deshaun Watson, or Lamar Jackson, maybe a little bit of a sleeper pick. I don't think we can throw names out just yet like that to compete with him. But right now, to me, Christian McCaffrey is a clear winner. Early on so far.
All right, let's talk about Defensive Player of the Year, Mitch. Last year, it was Aaron Donald who won Defensive Player of the Year. Some of the names of guys we were looking at that I had written down, Joey Bosa, Jalen Ramsey, kind of had quieter seasons. This season, Mitch, who's your Defensive Player of the Year? Who's the number one guy? And then maybe a sleeper, another guy you think could make that leap potentially.
Well, you know, I went with your boy Christian McCaffrey, so I got to go with my boy Khalil Mack as Defensive Player of the Year. He's already looked good.
Mitch, wait, before you get into this, we agree again.
We agree again.
I literally put Khalil Mack as okay. So let's talk about this in joint again, Mitch. I agree with you. To preach on Khalil Mack this year.
I think just saying the name is enough argument. The man is a freak of nature. He is a truly elite talent in the NFL when it comes to it, regardless of position on the defensive side of the ball. He is a truly elite talent, playmaking ability, fundamentally sound. He never does any. It doesn't seem like he ever does anything wrong. Even when he's not involved in the play, if the play is away from him, he's still doing the right thing. He never misses an assignment. The guy is about as disciplined and as explosive and unstoppable as they come. And Khalil Mack for me is the clear choice. It's hard to repeat at this Defensive Player of the Year because there are so many guys that step up in the big moments, or guys that just step up throughout the course of a year, and different guys step up year to year. It's hard to repeat at this for this award. I don't see Aaron Donald doing it again. I see Khalil Mack.
Yeah, and the thing is Khalil Mack had a great year last year. But this is his first year where he's got to go through the entire offseason as a Chicago Bear. I mean, he was traded during what was the preseason last year. So he just kind of jumped right in week one, you know, much like Antonio Brown will do with the Patriots this year. He just kind of had to jump in and learn it on the fly and adjust on the fly. And he still had a fantastic season, but he should be better. He should be better because he's had the entire offseason with the team. He's now played with them for a year. They have the camaraderie. They have the, you know, the cohesion as a unit. He's more familiar. He's ready. He's prepared. I think he's going to be a fantastic this year. And what I'm looking for with Defensive Player of the Year is the leader of a very, very, a top five defense in the NFL. And the Bears are going to be a top five defense, and he is the leader of that defense. So therefore, he makes the most sense as a Defensive Player of the Year. Now, Mitch, what potential sleeper do you have for this award?
Well, I do want to note that I did write down Aaron Donald as my second guy.
Perfect.
He can't be out of the conversation, right?
Of course not.
He has to be there. I wrote down two, and I'm going to make them both quick, because I wrote down two, and I couldn't decide between the two. Bobby Wagner from Seattle, and then I also wrote down Darius Leonard from Indianapolis. Darius Leonard is clearly the leader of that defense. He was the biggest Pro Bowl snub last year. Guy should have been in the Pro Bowl, leading the NFL in tackles. Guy is an absolute beast, absolute stud, flies around the field. I think that could be a sleeper pick. Now sacks is the sexy stat that everyone wants to go off of.
Yeah.
So he's not going to probably have the sack numbers. But I think if he puts together a it would have to be one of the best linebacker seasons we've seen in the last 15 years for, I think, a linebacker to do it. I think he could do that. And I think Bobby Wagner could do that as well.
No, I think those are great picks. My sleeper was Myles Garrett, a guy we're both really high on. We think he's going to make the leap to a Pro Bowl. I think he has the potential. Again, the Browns' defense should be very good. It is one of their strengths, I think. The offense is great, but the defense is going to be very good for Cleveland this year. Hopefully after week one.
Hopefully.
And so you look at who's the best guy on that defense. You know, it may be Denzel Ward on the outside, but surely Myles Garrett is the leader of that front seven. And I think he's going to do a lot this season. And I think he may put himself in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. So Myles Garrett is the sleeper guy that I'm looking at. So
got to be in the conversation.
Let's talk about the rookies. This is my favorite, Mitch, because we have no idea what these guys are going to do. And yeah, we have one game, I guess, to go off of now because we're doing this after week one, but still not a lot to go off of. So let's start on offense. Offensive rookie of the year. This is typically the best rookie running back. Saquon won it last year. The list behind him, Alvin Kamara, you know, the Todd Gurley's, etc. So, Mitch, is it a quarterback this year? Or is it a running back? And if so, which one?
You know, we got a pretty good rookie running back over in Chicago, David Montgomery. But he didn't look good. He didn't look good in week one. I mean, his opportunity
Nothing on the Bears looked good besides the defense. On the offensive side.
It was a rough week one for my Bears. But Montgomery didn't have the opportunity that I think we all thought that he was going to have in week one. It was pretty spread out. I went with Josh Jacobs as offensive rookie of the year. Tons of opportunity right now. He is by far the workhorse back in Oakland. Showed tons of confidence, showed that he can be a lead back in the NFL. Played with such a ferocity that I think that it's going to take him a long ways, and low mileage. He has low mileage coming out of college. So he's got a lot of gas left in the tank. And I think that once he gets a workhorse type role, that this could be a guy that's going to really excel in the NFL. I also put down Kyler Murray as that, because I think that you just can't deny the guy's ability and his opportunity that he has in Arizona. But I'm sticking with Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, Jacobs is the easy choice, but it's also the correct one in my eyes, because this was Saquon last year. You wanted to think about Baker. You wanted to think about Darnold. You wanted to think about those other quarterbacks. But if you had to put money on offensive rookie of the year, the money goes on Saquon because he's the running back and he's going to go in and immediately get carries. That's what Jacobs is in. There are a lot of good rookie running backs. I love Montgomery. I like Singletary from Buffalo. I like Miles Sanders from the Eagles, But none of those guys have the backfield to themselves. Jacobs has the backfield to himself week one. And mm-hmm. so he's going to put up numbers.
Yep.
I think at the end of the season, Montgomery, Singletary, Sanders will all respectively lead their team in carries. They will be that back, but it's going to take them time to earn that role. Jacobs earned that week one because of his draft position, and therefore he's the best bet for rookie of the year. So I am on board with you, Jacobs, and also he looked fantastic against Denver.
Yeah.
So who's your sleeper pick then? I know you mentioned a couple other guys, but who's the guy maybe under the radar that you think could sneak into the conversation?
My sleeper is Marquise Brown.
Okay.
I really liked what he did in week one. It looks like that him and Lamar Jackson have built up a pretty good rapport, a pretty good relationship as far as quarterback receiver goes. And this could be a guy that could break out and maybe put up a 900 or dare I even say a 1,000 yard year and score some touchdowns for him. This is a guy that could very easily be the leading receiver in Baltimore. And so I really like Marquise Brown. I think he's got a good outside shot at it. It's like taking a deep three-pointer. You know, Clay doesn't hit all his threes, deep threes, but he hits it every now and then. I think Marquise could be one of those deep threes that we see get hit, and he might be a long shot offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah, the receivers, there's a lot of rookie receivers balled out in week one, and there's always the potential for these guys. In the last couple years, there's only been one rookie receiver to win the award, Odell Beckham Jr. Here was his stat line as a rookie. 91 receptions, 1,305 yards, and 12 touchdowns. That's a fantastic season. Mm-hmm. And those are the kind of numbers any of these wide receivers are going to have to put up to even be in the conversation. I just don't see that for Marquise Brown. I think he's a flash-in-the-pan kind of player, at least for now. He's going to have games like this, and next week he may have two catches for 20 yards, you know, or one catch for 30, and that might be it. So, but I think there's a lot of talented wide receivers. DK Metcalf looked really good. You had Terry McLaurin getting a lot of targets for the Redskins. So I think there's potential for some of these guys, but those are lofty numbers for a wide receiver to hit. But, you know, Marquise Brown's the big play guy, so he has, I guess, the most opportunity to hit those kinds of numbers. The rookie that I was looking at as a sleeper was Devin Singletary from Buffalo.
Yeah.
Like I said, I like all these running backs, but I just think with Buffalo, he has the best opportunity. Miles Sanders is fighting Jordan Howard for a job. You know, Tariq Cohen is going to be used. Mike Davis is going to be used in Chicago. It's just a question of how much, and how much can David Montgomery kind of carve a spot out for him. But I think Singletary definitely looked the best from Buffalo. I know that they know that. I think they're going to start relying on him more and more with the young quarterback that they do have in Josh Allen. I could see him putting up some pretty big numbers, being a guy like Philip Lindsay last year, where we didn't expect anything, and he ended up being a really consistent running back to help the offense. So Singletary is the guy that I'm looking at for that.
I like it.
All right, Mitch, defensive rookie of the year. Last year it was Derwin James, right?
It was Derwin James. I think I correctly picked that one. Yeah. So
You did correctly pick that. We actually we both had Derwin James on the list. They were guys we talked about. You nailed that prediction. So congratulations on that one.
Well,
so Mitch, your lucky pick. Who is it going to this year?
So since I'm one for one and I'm 100% on these picks, I'm going to get cocky. Your defensive rookie of the year this year will be Devin Bush from Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Love this kid, extremely athletic and talented linebacker. Now, just came off a week where they gave up 33 to New England. Not a great start, but I think that Devin Bush will make enough noise throughout the duration of the year that he's going to be right there in the conversation of defensive rookie of the year, and I think that he might win that one. The other name I wrote down as one of my top picks is going to be your boy Brian Burns.
I love that guy.
I wrote him down. He's looked really good through preseason. Looked good in week one. Love this kid. Think he's got a ton of athleticism coming off the edge. There's no. I've always said
that there's no such thing as having too many good linebackers. And right now in today's game, there's no such thing as having too many good edge rush guys. And Brian Burns is one of those good young edge rush guys that I think is going to get it done, and he's going to be in that conversation.
All right, Mitch, those are great. I love the Brian Burns, by the way. I love a good homer pick, and then when I don't have to make them and I can just, like, agree with it, it's even better. So, my guy.
Less blood on your hands, I guess,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. My guy for Defensive Rookie of the Year is Quinnen Williams for the New York Jets.
Hey.
I like Quinnen Williams a lot. He was arguably the best player in the draft. He was number one on a lot of people's draft boards, went three to the Jets. I just think he's poised for a big season. The Jets made a lot of offseason acquisitions, and I think he's the type of talent that's just going to come in and have an impact immediately. He's healthy, he's playing, that helps. And so, yeah, I just like the guy a lot, and I think he's going to have a big impact. It's hard to predict these rookies. There's a lot of guys that I like. But I feel confident as, you know, day one NFL ready, I feel more confident in Quinnen Williams than anybody else. So that's kind of my reasoning for picking him here. So,
yeah, no, I love Quinnen Williams. Love Quinnen Williams. I loved him coming out of the draft. So I agree with you. I think he's poised to have a very good rookie year in New York for the perennial 10-6 New York Jets. So.
Exactly. All right. Who's the sleeper, Mitch? Who's the sleeper in this class that you're looking at?
Yeah, so guy I think that's going to come up in a lot of conversations, not necessarily maybe a sleeper, but maybe a guy that's going to get lost in the shuffle, that's Devin White out of LSU, drafted the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, six tackles last week, looked really good. Just love the guy's physical ability. Very similar skill set to Devin Bush, a very athletically built linebacker, and he's gonna be a guy that's going to be around for a long time. Like I said, he's flying all over the field. He's going to be a guy that I think is going to make a lot of big plays for this defense under this Bruce Arians regime. So keep an eye out for Devin White. I think that's going to be my sleeper pick.
Yeah, and I liked Devin White a lot in the draft. I liked what he could bring to a team, immediate impact kind of guy. I like that pick, Mitch. That's good. That's good. My guy is Darnell Savage from the Green Bay Packers. He's a safety. He looked great week one in that Bears-Packers game, flying all over the field. Pairing him up with Adrian Amos back there, I think that's going to be a very talented secondary. He's the type of guy that I think is going to have some impact. When you look at the people around him and you're an offense trying to target a weak link, I think you're going to target the rookie. And that's going to give him opportunities for interceptions and to make plays that can put him in the position to win this kind of award. So Darnell Savage is my pick, my sleeper pick for Defensive Rookie of the Year.
I like it. I like it a lot.
All right, Mitch, finally, the most important award, the most fun one. I'm just kidding. It's Coach of the Year. I hate this award, but we predicted it anyways. Mitch, you have six names down. That's why this award is stupid. Because how do you – it's just whoever gets the best record, right? The best record, you know, or the most surprising team. Last year was Matt Nagy. The Bears went 12-4. That makes sense. So who's it going to be this year, Mitch?
You could literally take a 32-sided dice, assign a coach to a number, roll it, and that could be your coach
not
of the
true
year.
Brian Flores will not win Coach of the Year. I guarantee it.
Okay,
he
so
will
you get a
within
31
the organization. If he wins zero games, he will within the organization because we will have successfully completed hashtag take for Tua. So that's the only success Brian Flores will have.
And then
this
he won't
season.
Be around for Tua. He
exactly.
Won't be for Tua.
He'll be fired January 7th. So
yeah. names I wrote down: Freddie Kitchens for Cleveland. I wrote down Adam Gase for New York. We're very high on the Jets, and no one's expecting the turnaround that I think we've predicted. So I wrote down Adam Gase. I wrote down Doug Peterson of the Eagles, a team that could make a deep run into the playoffs. You're going to hate me for this one. I wrote down John Gruden of the Raiders.
Sure, Mitch. Sure, Mitch.
Roll your eyes. Roll your eyes. It's fine.
It's your picks. Your funeral.
I wrote down also Mike Vrabel of the Tennessee Titans, and then I wrote down Bruce Arians as well. If those teams put something together and win enough games to maybe make a wild card push, maybe they're maybe they're getting talked about. So, like you said, it's such a toss up. I think you could throw a name like Frank Reich in there too, as a potential. Frank Reich.
All right, Mitch. I'm gonna two things here. One, I'm gonna make you pick one because you can't just name six guys. You got to put your name in one. Two, I also have to bring up that last year you also mentioned John Gruden in this same conversation. And we laughed at that at the end of the season. We were like, remember when you said that John Gruden could be a coach of the year? And then we laughed. And I just want to say that now so that at the end of this year, when we're laughing how you did it 2 years in a row, we can just look back at this moment.
You've officially heard the last broadcast of Mitch Moe and Dallin. I'm breaking this up.
Okay.
Don't call me out. Like, don't roast me like that.
I'm just saying, Mitch. All right. Okay. Who's the one?
Freddie Kitchens. Freddie Kitchens.
Kitchens a great guy. Okay. I feel that. All right. My pick was Doug Peterson. The reason being is because I have them winning the Super Bowl and winning 13 games. So in theory, yes, I had the Rams winning more games at 14, but the Eagles, I think, would be more surprising to win that amount of number of games than the Rams. Therefore, Peterson would win the award. So, yes, I have Doug Peterson as my guy. Another name that I wrote down as a potential was Matt LaFleur. Because I think the Packers could win 10-plus games, and him being a first-year coach after the season they had last year at 6-9-1, that'd be a big step in the right direction. So Matt LaFleur, I think, would be a guy that would be looked at. And that's a guy you didn't mention. So look at us.
I guess.
12 guys that can win the award. So that's it for award predictions, right, Mitch?
Yeah, that's it.
You feel pretty good about these?
Everything but Coach of the Year, yep.
Well, I think it's great. I love the awards predictions. We'll hold ourselves accountable to this at the end of the year once the awards are announced and have a lot of fun doing that. So, but Mitch, it's time for one final thing on the podcast. What do we got?
Oh, it is one of our favorite things to do on here. It is our weekly quick picks. We are going to go pick the winners of every NFL game this year. Now, as you know, last year I lost by 3 games. My record was 156-97-2. Dallin's was 159-94-2. Lost by 3 games, wound up not having hair for a month, and shaved my head Super Bowl Sunday. If you didn't catch that on the live stream, you missed out. But so far this year, week 1, picks are in the book. I wound up 10-5-1 to start week 1, and Dallin, you wound up 7-8-1. You're under 500. Under 500 to start the year.
This is not a good start.
No.
And as I said earlier, even more pressure this year, knowing consequence, seeing it happen, and being so grateful I didn't have to shave my head. I'm taking this more seriously, so even worse feeling to start off negatively. As we said before, please help us come up with an idea for the punishment. We would greatly appreciate it. We'll give you a shout out if you come up with the winning idea. Last year, my dad is the one who suggested the bald. Seems fitting since he is bald himself, and he thought, hey, it'd be funny if one of them had to feel my pain and misery every day. So help us think of what we should do this year. Let us know. But let's get into these picks. Mitch, what do you think?
Well, yeah, let's get it going. Let's start with the Thursday night game. That's going to be Tampa Bay, and they're going back east to take on the Carolina Panthers. All I got to say is keep pounding Panthers over Bucks.
Yes, Mitch, keep pounding. The Panthers are going to get the win on Thursday night at home against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay? Yeah, all right. Give me a break. Carolina gets the win. All right, next on the list, San Francisco traveling to the butthole of America, Cincinnati, to take on the Bengals. Guess what, Mitch? Their team stinks as much as their city does. I have the Niners getting a win in Ohio.
I'm with you. I've never heard anyone say, you know, Cincinnati's such a lovely city. Never heard anyone say that. Niners over Bengals. Easy pick. Let's go with the third game on our list. The Los Angeles Chargers, they are traveling to the Motor City to take on the Detroit Lions. I got the Chargers over Detroit here. I think it's going to be a good matchup. Detroit's front seven looks all right. I think that they're going to be overwhelmed by Austin Eckler, Justin Jackson combination, and Phillip Rivers has himself a good game. Let's go Chargers over Lions.
Yes, Chargers, every game is a road game for them because they play in a soccer stadium. So they will not be fazed by the Lions fans in attendance. Chargers get the win against the NFC North and the Detroit Lions. An NFC North matchup next, Minnesota traveling to Lambeau Field to take on the Packers. Packers coming off a big win. Minnesota coming off a big win. This is going to be a fun game, a good matchup against teams that started the season off hot. But I have the Packers getting a win, getting to 2-0, and beating their two big division rivals to start the season.
You know, I like to agree with you, but I'm not gonna, because, you know, F the Packers. I got the Minnesota Vikings beating the Cheeseheads in Lambeau Field, and probably a fairly close game. I think it's gonna be a good game. I think that's a great matchup. Following that, we got a showdown in Music City. We got the Indianapolis Colts traveling over to Nashville to take on the Tennessee Titans. Titans looked really good in week one, and I think I'm going to stick with them. I think they take the Indianapolis Colts here in another close, hard-fought defensive battle. I got the Titans.
Yeah, I don't believe in Tennessee still. I want to see it again against a good team. Indianapolis is another good team they're going to have to face. I think the Colts get the win here. I don't like them starting off 0-2. Brissett's going to lead them to a victory over the Titans. We have the New England Patriots traveling down to Miami for the yearly trap game. But, Mitch, this year there is no trap set. The trap is trapless. There's nothing left for Miami. New England's going to go down, and they're going to get an easy victory at South Beach.
Yes, I agree with you. No trap game this year. Miami's just too damn awful to pull off anything. Pats by a score of 283 to negative 10.
Listen, I mean, when you have players after the game calling their agents in the locker room saying, get me the hell out of here. I mean, you're doing things right for hashtag tank for Tua. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Following that, we got Buffalo. They're traveling to the Big Apple to take on the New York Giants. I got the Giants in this game. I said that they might surprise a little bit, win some games. Maybe they're not supposed to. I think Buffalo's the superior team by just a little bit here. But I think that New York does enough to beat Buffalo at home.
Yeah, Buffalo came back and got a win against the Jets last week. I think they're going to get another win this week against the other New York team, the New York Giants. Giants did not look good. Buffalo is 2 years removed from being a playoff team. I think this team is talented enough to get the win here on Sunday. Next up, we have the Seattle Seahawks against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers coming off an embarrassing loss to the Patriots. Now they're at home. I think they get the win on Sunday. They're not going to go 0-2 to start the season. I have Pittsburgh getting the win in a tough, close game against the Seahawks.
Yeah, I got Seattle winning this game against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh did not look good against New England. I don't think things are going to get much better against a very good Seattle defense. So I got Seattle over Pittsburgh. Following that, we have Dallas traveling to the nation's capital to take on the Washington Redskins. Dallas is a much better team than the Redskins. They are. And so in a classic matchup of Cowboys and Indians, I am going to take the Cowboys over the Redskins.
Yeah, I have Dallas winning as well. Darius Geis is out. That means Adrian Peterson is probably going to be running the ball, which I think may actually be an advantage for Washington. They gave Philly a scare last week. I don't think it's going to be the same for Dallas. Dallas gets the win easy against the division rival. We have the Baltimore Ravens going home to take on the Arizona Cardinals. It is Kyler Murray versus Lamar Jackson. This is must-see TV, ladies and gentlemen. I think this is going to be a fantastic game. This is going to be some good offense, I believe, but ultimately Baltimore is going to win, and they're going to win by double digits.
Yeah, this is not going to be a close game. I have Baltimore as well in a pretty easy matchup against the Arizona Cardinals. I've been waiting all offseason to say this, Dallin. The Jaguars will be leaving the swamps of Jacksonville and headed to the heart of Texas to take on the Houston Texans. I got the Texans in this matchup. Looked very good against the New Orleans Saints. And I think that they're going to ride that high of a close loss and be a little bit motivated and come out. And I think they're going to smack Jacksonville in the mouth early. I got Houston over Jacksonville.
Yeah, Houston very good this year. Jacksonville, I think it could be good. Gardner Minshew is going to have a lot more trouble against the Houston defense than he did the Chiefs defense. Houston's going to get the win at home. We have Kansas City, the Chiefs, traveling to Oakland for the last season of the Oakland Raiders. Oakland got a win on Monday night against Denver. They will not get a win against Patrick Mahomes. Kansas City's going to win. They're going to win big. They're going to win big, Mitch, and people are going to be reminded that the Raiders are still bad.
Well, I don't think the Raiders are that as bad as you think they are, but I do think that this game shouldn't be a close one. I got Kansas City winning as well by at least 16. I think that this is going to be a pretty easy matchup for the Kansas City Chiefs. Following that, I have my beloved Chicago Bears leaving the Windy City and going to Mile High City to take on the Denver Broncos. Pardon me, I got to clear my throat before I say this. You got to be crazy if you think I'm not taking my Bears. Bears over Broncos in Mile High.
Yeah, I have the Bears beating the Broncos. Broncos did not look good week one. This is going to be a test to see how bad they really are when they play a very good Bears defense. If they couldn't move the ball against the Raiders, they ain't moving the ball anywhere against the Chicago Bears. So Chicago will get the win. We have a rematch of the NFC Championship game. This time in LA, the Rams hosting the New Orleans Saints, both teams coming off of close victories and week one. I have the Rams at home defeating the Saints in what should be another great game to cap off what was a great game last year in the playoffs.
Yeah, I am with you. I got the Rams at home against New Orleans, and there will be no pass interference call to cause constant controversy in this game. I think it's going to be a clean, hard-fought game. Got the Rams.
Yeah, we hope so. No controversy this time.
Didn't you love how the Saints fans just dressed up like refs, by the way?
That was awesome. That was pretty awesome.
That was great. Yeah, I love that. Philadelphia Eagles, they're leaving the city of brotherly love to head down to Hotlanta to take on the Atlanta Falcons. I got the Eagles on the road. This is a good team. D-Jax looks like he is really happy to be back in Philadelphia. Went off last week, was a couple of deep touchdowns. I like the Eagles in this matchup.
Yeah, this is a matchup of birds, Mitch. Birds of prey. Eagles versus Falcons. But guess what the nation's bird is? It ain't a Falcon. It's an eagle. Fly, Eagles, fly. Philadelphia gets the win on Sunday Night Football. And finally, Mitch, Monday Night Football. Baker Mayfield versus Sam Darnold, the number one pick from last year versus the number three pick. This is going to be a fun matchup. We had this, if I remember right, we had this exact same matchup on Monday Night Football last year, pretty early on in their rookie seasons. I thought that was a fun game. This is also going to be a fun game. The Jets are going to get a win at home, get to 1-1, send Cleveland to 0-2, and the panic will begin in Believeland.
Oh, wow. I the thing about Believeland is you have to believe, and I believe the Browns will pull it off against the New York Jets. Like you said, it's going to be a fun one to watch. But I think that Cleveland rebounds after such a bad performance against an inferior Tennessee team. I think that they rebound and they get the win over the Jets.
All right, guys, that is it for our quick picks. We'll get you updated next week on how it went. Mitch, this has been a ton of fun. I, like we said earlier, love the NFL season, love doing these podcasts every week during the season. And we've got more coming for you. More segments, more recaps, predictions, fun things in between. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's glad to get this thing rolling again. The podcast, I mean. And to be doing this today was a ton of fun, Mitch.
It was an absolute blast. My favorite time of year is football season. So I love coming on here, talking sports, talking football with my best friend. And I cannot wait to see where this NFL season takes us as we progress through the year.
All right. Well, our social medias, if you don't follow us already, our Instagram is at the Sports Hour Guys. Twitter is at Sports Hour Guys. My Twitter is at Lil Thoint. Follow us, engage with us. We want to hear from you. We want to talk to you because we do this for all of us that listen that just love sports and want to talk about it every week.
Yeah, go on there. Leave us a rating. Leave us a comment. Yeah, tell us we suck. That's the only way we get better. I do want to plug one thing. Make sure if you're into fantasy sports, especially daily fantasy sports, go listen to the new podcast that I have been recording with our resident fantasy expert, Jordan Fox. That is the Daily Double Up. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can go follow us on our Twitter at DoubleUpDFS. I lost a water bet this week, so keep your eyes out on the Twitter for me getting a water dumped on me here in the next couple days. And our new episode will be out before the Thursday night games. We'll be recording that tomorrow night. It will be out in time for you to help you strategize and make your picks for this upcoming week. That's once again the Daily Double Up on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter at DoubleUpDFS.
Awesome. Yes, I don't do daily fantasy, and I listened to their first episode, and I learned a lot. So if you are unfamiliar with daily fantasy, if it's something that you've thought about, I would check out the podcast. Like I said, it helped me out a lot. Makes me want to get into it, though I know my wife is probably glad that I'm not. So I think that's it for the Sports Hour today. Mitch, it's been a pleasure. Guys, thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
See ya!